With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Laura.
I'm Carrie.
And this is
Sexy
unique
podcast.
Salty Utah Queens.
Salty Utah Queens. I almost said tough Sicilian bitches again.
Tough Sicilian bitches.
Tough Sicilian
sons queen. Of bitches. That's Joe Giudice going into the brawl. Sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches. I miss sons Joe. Of bitches. Sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches. And then Philomia coming out of nowhere and punching
Philomena.
Philomena. Wasn't that a movie recently about with like a nun? What?
No one's name has ever been Philomena.
Philomena, Philomena,
who is he talking about? Philomena.
Philomena punched Melissa Gorga's sister in the head. She punched her temple. She threw.
I need Philomena a brawl.
Threw the fuck down.
Yeah, Phil, you don't fuck with the tough Sicilian bitches, lest you be fully punched down to the ground.
So we didn't cover her. Obviously, she came later, but former New Jersey Housewife Siggy Flicker is just like full Q.
And she's, I don't even know who she is.
She came out in like season. Teresa wasn't on when she came out, I don't think, but she's like, she was like a family and love advice person on, she would always go on like the Today Show, but she's fully psychotic now and like a full Trumper for life and QAnon.
Love.
Like supporting Laura Loomer, like supporting like Marjorie, like total Q head and just like going off on Instagram and her posts are hilarious. They're so insane.
What does she say? Can you read some of them?
Yeah.
What's her name? Siggy?
Siggy Flicker, which is an incredible name.
Siggy Flicker is a wild, almost pornographic name.
I think she was banned from Instagram.
For spreading her cue?
For spreading misinformation.
She.
Shadow banned is in her bio.
Oh, love. I love a cue. Like, there is a, you know that meme of the two hands, like the two men's hands, like grasping, and mm-hmm. it's like It's like, what do like oversexed Instagram hotties and QAnon have in common? Shadow bans.
She posted a screenshot of like a fake Michael Moore account, I think, that said Trump 89 million Twitter followers, 74 million votes. Biden 19 million Twitter followers, 80 million votes. And she wrote, even Michael Moore knows. It's like, how about just most people aren't on Twitter? And they more people voted for.
God. I love a conspiracy theory.
Randy Quaid is in queue, I think, of course.
Oh, of course.
She's retweeting Randy Quaid.
He's like one of the first people to join up.
Eva Quaid. Remember their like moment?
I'll never forget. Aren't they? Are they in Canada now?
Yeah.
Forever banned.
Shadow banned.
Shadow. The United States shadow banned them.
They were wild.
They were wild. I need to revisit their journey because Vanity Fair did some really good writing about it. Wait, what else does Siggy Flicker say?
Just lots of like QE retweets.
Okay.
Hold on.
Side note, remember when I was telling you that I was a billions head?
Mm-hmm.
It was before I reached truly the ultimate twist of billions, which is that season one hinges on like an explosive 9/11 storyline. And that is what threw me into the grips of billions obsession. That and Malin Ackerman's character's name is Lara. Oh. Some people call her Lara. And then Lara. Some people call her Lara, but there's not very much consistency. And so that is also really doing it for me.
I love it. I love a 9/11 twist.
Billions is in a place of Lara, Lara, and in a place of 9/11. And I'm in a place of billions.
Wait, sorry. Siggy Flicker writes, we need more badasses like Marjorie Taylor Greene, a QAnon Republican who won Georgia's 14th congressional district and gave it right back to anti-America scam artist Omar. Wait, so what's the twist? Like, what is the billions twist? The 9/11's twist.
You want a spoiler? I'll spoil it.
Okay.
Billion spoilers ahead. Please turn off the pod and tune back in about 2 minutes after I've completed my billion spoil. So Bobby Axelrod, aka Damian Lewis, is like this hot hedge fund, like not even hedge fund. I don't really actually know what he does. I just know that he's the boss and he makes billions. And he used to have his firm in the second Twin Tower. And the Twin Tower, obviously, we all know what happened to those. Sorry. But and he was out of the office on 9/11 and he was like meeting with like a financial advisor or no meeting with like he was going to leave his firm, I think, and go to a new firm. And when he saw the first plane hit the Twin Towers, he made like he did some stock deal that was basically like capitalizing off of it. Then oh, when wow. he saw the second thing go into the other Twin Tower, he realized all his office. His entire firm is now dead. He made another stock deal, like piggybacking off of that, and ended up netting $750 million from his like 9/11 stock
activity. Oh my God.
Activity.
So he's a total daemon.
He's kind of a daemon, but then he used that money to like, I mean, he funds like his former coworkers' kids, like college, and like gave their families money and stuff. But like, one of his former coworkers' wives, she like has a real 9/11 chip on her shoulder against him. And she wrote like a memoir of like surviving 9/11 and like wrote a whole chapter about his bad behavior, 9/11 activity.
Damn.
And then we thought that it got taken out. Like Lara goes and like works her magic to like have this woman take it out of the book, but then the chapter gets leaked and everyone finds out that he's like a bad 9/11 guy.
He's like a grave robber. So
his reputation is really on the line after that.
I'm telling you, 9/11 is the limitless pool of gold for
It literally all comes back to 9/11.
What was that movie with Robert Pattinson where at the end he and Pierce Brosnan die in 9/11? And Meghan Markle was in it?
The huge twist is that all the movie took place leading up to 9/11.
Insane. Like the last shot is him like the plane coming.
It's insane. But like this is, I feel like we're at a place of like we're so post 9/11 that it now, I mean, it now is like it is just a, it's a thing that happened.
Well, and that's the way that is done is pretty, that's a clever way to use 9/11 to like show the greed of American capitalism. Like,
hell yeah. Shout out Billions. Love your work. Here for it.
I'm watching Dexter for the first time.
Finally.
I just finished season one.
Love it.
I like it. It's very corny.
It's incredibly corny.
And the way it's shot is very like real sex. Or like it feels really low budge, but it's really good.
Season 2, 3, and 4 also really good. I stopped watching after season 4 because something wild happens and I like truly could not reconcile.
Okay.
Like I'll probably revisit eventually, but I felt
betrayed.
I felt absolutely betrayed.
I'm a big fan of Jennifer Carpenter,
who plays. She's insane in season 1.
She is.
Her character gets better, like, but in season 1 I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I love Julie Benz.
Love Julie.
Of Jawbreaker fame.
God, she is.
She's a really good actress.
She's a great actress, and I feel like I grew up kind of idolizing her. Like she was just in a lot of stuff when I was like a youth and a teen, being like, I love I just love her.
She had the strongest, at least in season one, the strongest like arc of like develop, like as a character, like turning from like kind of an, you know, traumatized survivor of violence to like kind of a strong, like she really comes into her own. And it's, and I just think Michael C. Hall is really sexy.
Yeah, he's hot.
And I was like very hesitant to watch because I don't really like gratuitous serial killer shit. I mean, I like watching like but I'm not really into like gratuitous like murder shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they do it in a way that it's like fun.
Yeah. I love sexy on Dexter.
LaGuardia, the
police chief.
Yeah, she's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
And I love his dad, who was Richard in Sex and the City.
I know. That was truly the clincher that kept me watching, was because of James Remar as the dad.
He's so handsome. He is. I'm like, I just think he's like a good, he's just like a, when you see him on screen, you're like, oh, that's a good actor.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
But it's a good show. I don't like the, as Simon calls it, circus music. He does like in the opening credits.
No, I always skip. Also, those opening credits are like 10 minutes long.
I know.
Like, abolish opening credits, please. We've grown past the need for them. We do not need a long opening credit anymore.
No, they should be quick. They should be like,
you need it one time. It literally needs to be one card that says Dexter and then just go. Who wants these?
I don't know.
No one wants them.
You know who low-key has some of the best opening credits for TV show?
Who?
Queer as Folk.
I never watched Queer as Folk.
It's good.
Is that my next Showtime explosion?
Yeah. Okay. I only got to like two or three seasons in, but I watched, it's on Netflix. I'd seen like some of it on, like I used to sneak it sometimes when it was on TV when I was like growing up, but it's actually a really good show because some gay shows from that time and is like super corny and cringe, but it actually is like not that outdated. You should watch.
And the guys I'm gonna watch it.
The sex is hot. Yeah, but Dexter, dude.
It is clown music.
Wait,
shout out also to my industry heads, Industry Hive Assemble. We are in the industry. I was watching last night's episode, and then I saw that the entire series is dropping on Friday.
Oh, I heard about that.
Which I literally go, hell yeah,
Lara
to myself.
Lara just raised
that.
Her hand.
Woo! I said, the Hive. I feel you, Hive. Let us assemble for industry.
Let us assemble.
What they do, I do not know. Lots of deals and numbers, but the industry remains. And so I know what I will be doing this weekend. Watching
let
industry.
Us,
then
let
I'll
us assemble.
Switch over to old Billions. And maybe I'll learn a thing or two.
I'm watching The Undoing. We're in this. We've got shows to watch.
We've got shows to watch and that fucking lesbian Christmas movie. I cannot.
Oh, fuck yeah. Happiest
wait.
Season starring.
You got a press package for that. Do you know how much my jealousy spiked after seeing your Happiest Season press package?
Do you love it?
I love it.
Was thrilled to get a package. Cute socks, some mistletoe. It was cute.
It was cute.
For anyone, watch that movie. This is not.
They have a little.
What?
Did you get a little ornament? Did they put an ornament?
I got
in
a little
there?
Bell. I got a bottle of wine that I didn't drink, obviously. It was a cozy, cute little package. It looks to be a great moment. We have Queen Kristen Stewart, of course, and then our Queen, Mackenzie Davis.
Of my life and vagina, Mackenzie Davis.
Dom top Mackenzie Davis.
Dom top Mackenzie Davis.
Who let this be her full star moment. We need Mackenzie. We ride Mackenzie Davis Hive. We ride this weekend.
We fucking Rough Rider style atop our Harleys. We gather, we ride for Mackenzie.
And also a reminder to please stream Terminator Dark Fate.
Please, for the love of God.
A good movie.
If you do one goddamn thing with your life, just stream Terminator.
But more importantly, watch Happiest Season. And it's directed by like cultural vanguard Clea DuVall.
Oh, I fucking forgot about that.
Clea DuVall, who, you know, a lot of us grew up with Clea DuVall, and she was just like a fucking cool icon of like at least my childhood, my adolescence.
I will never forget seeing her in The Faculty.
Stokely, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And also true classic, but I'm a Cheerleader.
True.
With Natasha Lyonne, lesbian, gay classic. That movie was like a true queer awakening for me.
Mm-hmm.
And just Clea DuVall also in She's All That, playing Goth Girl, who tells Rachel Lee Cook she should kill herself.
She really scared me.
Splatter Girl.
She scared me a lot in that role.
But she was so good. Anyway.
But she was so good, yeah, because she's an incredible actor.
She's an incredible and director. And
artist.
And Dan Levy's in it.
Yeah.
Who's great. So it's going to be, I'm just excited.
Vanguard talent. I'm watching that on Thanksgiving Day. I will be the prefect to their Vanguard.
Me too. I will be a student.
And I will pray that I one day meet Mackenzie and I sweep her off her feet, Dale.
I hope that too.
Is she a lesbian?
I don't think so.
I don't
but
think so.
I think she just has that queer spirit.
She is queer it for sure.
Queer it. Queer. And Kristen Stewart is just.
I mean, just
come on.
Forget it.
Come on, guys.
You can't. There's nothing even to say.
Yeah.
We all know it.
By the way, I'm so excited for Mackenzie Davis to be in Station 11.
What is Station 11?
Oh, it's a book by Emily.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be
good. I
gotta
get that.
This is now a Mackenzie Davis podcast.
This is actually, you're listening to Sexy Unique Podcast.
Mackenzie Davis.
Macheads
over
just
here.
Speak on Mackenzie.
We speak on our Canadian queen. We speak on our Canadian legend. Our Canadian thespian icon, the new Meryl Streep. No, not the new Meryl Streep. The new Annette Bening.
Just
the new Mackenzie Davis.
The Mackenzie Davis. Like
speak
Megan
to her
the
name.
Stallion.
Speak to her name.
Mackenzie the Davis.
Speak to her and put some justice on her name. We had Blade Runner 2049. you know, wasn't a hit in the box office. Critic hit, fan hit. She was amazing in it. She played a robot. She played it well. Stole the show. We had her in Terminator Dark Fate with a bazooka, you know, palling around with Linda fucking Hamilton, wearing a tank top with toned arms, you know, and like looking very sinewy. She did it. And was it a box office success? No, it wasn't. It was a cult success, mainly between me and Lara, who went to see it.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Tully.
We're Dark Fate Hive fucking assembled.
We are Dark Fate Hive. She was in Tully. Charlize Theron. She can bounce and hang with the best of them. And not only hang with them, shine. And that movie was written by Diablo Cody.
Amen.
It was written by fucking Diablo Cody. So this is where I am standing on my soapbox. We need to ride for Mackenzie Davis. Give her her breakout year. Let this be her year.
Davis Hive fucking assemble. I'm saying it now. You either are with Mackenzie or you're against Mackenzie.
And if you're against Mackenzie,
you're against
me and Lara.
And you're against all gay people, quite frankly. And is that how you want your legacy to go down?
Do you want to lay your head at night and be like, wow, I am actively living against gay people.
I'm actively hurting the gay community by not standing, riding, and dying hard for
Mackenzie Davis.
Mackenzie Davis. Yeah.
For straight Canadian actress Mackenzie Davis. And this is, by the way, this is not a joke.
Straight white Canadian actress Mackenzie Davis. You mean to tell me if I don't just fully bow myself at her feet and ride for her until the day I die and say that I would die for her, that I'm actively being
harming the gay community? Yes.
I mean to tell you, yes, that is in fact exactly what you're doing. And how fucking dare you?
And this may sound tongue-in-cheek, but Laura and I are actually Mackenzie Davis diehard fans, and we are serious.
I've never been more serious in my life.
I am actually serious. I want her.
I am too. I love
let this
her.
Be her year. I want awards buds. Even if she's not in anything, I want awards buzz. Even
I
if
just
she's
want
not,
it.
I want buzzy things for Mackenzie Davis.
Me too. What's it going to fucking take?
What's it going to fucking take?
What does Mackenzie and have to do to get your guys' attention?
Why wasn't Dark Fate a success at the box office? I will tell you why.
Because it was all women.
Women. With an X.
Because that movie was good as fuck. Because
it was good as fuck and people don't like good things.
Yeah.
They like...
Everyone's stupid.
Everyone's stupid and they didn't want to see three powerful women exploding things with a rocket launcher.
Yeah. The effects were so good.
They were so good.
I'm going to maybe watch that tonight.
It was amazing. And guess who's in it?
Mackenzie Davis.
Mackenzie Davis. I was going to say Linda Hamilton, but...
Her too, but
her.
Most importantly...
Her too.
Mackenzie.
Okay, we need to stop because we're unhanged. But anyway...
Okay, we've alienated most of the audience.
People, if you're still listening...
Then you're now in the hive. And you know what you have to do. You've been indoctrinated, and now you have to go spread the Mormon good word of my church is the church of Mackenzie Davis.
Me too.
Jesus Christ and the Mackenzie Davis.
Laura and I are high priestesses.
Instead of the Latter Day Saints. Vanguard and Prefect are telling you now to go and recruit three more Mackenzie Davis heads.
Laura is the Vanguard.
And I'm like, please pay $6,000 to join my course called Mackenzie, and you'll be just at Mackenzie level one, and it will just be me reading her Wikipedia to you via video.
But and I'm in the background going,
and you will get a sash for completing.
I love it. Speaking of Mormons, guys, we're on episode 3, the surprise of the century, randomly dropped episode 3 of Salt Lake City Housewives.
I know, on the Bravo app. Not an ad, just a fact.
So we're going to get into it. So we start out with Lisa. She's yelling at her son.
Lisa is truly addicted to Diet Coke.
She's addicted to Diet Coke, and she's also addicted to the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. She loves nothing more than sucking down a 50-ounce Diet Coke and thinking about thou shalt not kill.
Which I kind of don't. I am obsessed with Diet Coke, too.
I love it. And I felt her when she goes, I need a Diet Coke so badly.
Yeah.
It's when you need a Diet Coke at that level, you really need it.
Yeah. She's driving with her Slender Man husband and her youngest son in the back seat. And she's like, you really need to brush up in your Ten Commandments. Give me some right now. And he's like, thou shall not do bad things. Fair.
Okay.
And then she goes, what is an example of a bad thing? And he says, looking at porn. He's like 8.
I know. And I'm like, where did you get that info?
I wrote worried about him.
Mm-hmm. Worried about both her sons because they were making borderline inappropriate sexual innuendo comments in her general direction. And it stressed me out.
I know. I never talked like that in front of my mom.
I did not say I have a good pullout game in front of my mom.
Oh my God. That was really traumatic for me. And
that was just a little much.
This is my, I was naive thinking he didn't, I was like, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was, but I think it was.
I think it was.
Sick.
Teens these days, they know things.
We got to Meredith. Brooks and Meredith are getting fat burned off.
I think they're getting M sculpt, which is something I'm dying to get.
Me too.
They just hook shit, they hook like sensors up to you and it just like contracts your muscles until you suddenly have like defined abs. Arms. Yeah. And abs and a butt.
I just wrote Savage Grace.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous of their procedures. Like to go get a procedure with a parent feels like true adulthood.
I'm going to say maybe a controversial thing here, but guys, Brooks is a boring gay.
Brooks, I think, revealed himself Brooks. To potentially be the devil this episode. And I think he fooled me into thinking, save Brooks 2020.
No.
But then it was put a stop to Brooks 2020.
Brooks is like puritanical and maybe obsessed with his mom.
I think he controls Meredith's every move.
I do too.
I think he's vanguarded Meredith her. In her room.
Yeah.
And he puts like trackers on her car.
Yeah.
I don't trust Brooks
anymore. I don't either. I'm sorry
but
to say
I love
it, guys.
A nefarious gay.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
His mother is like, someone write that book, I'll read it.
Me
someone
too.
Someone make that movie, I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm. Whitney's heading to an antique store for
but
that.
Really
but it really is a speakeasy.
Secret speakeasy. Ooh.
It's called Prohibition.
So bad. She's going to throw a big party. A 20s themed party.
Ugh, okay. We need a moratorium on 1920s parties in general, but especially on Real Housewives. 1920s parties are never a good idea, everyone. They're terrible and like have really weird implications, and they're not cute. So let's stop with the 1920s. No more Flapper, no more Gatsby. I am firmly anti-20s.
We've been there, done that.
Yeah.
I want to throw a Great Depression party.
Dust Bowl party,
where everyone
maybe.
Has to dress up like a prairie person. And
yeah, that...
like, or just dress up like in your sweats. Like it could cross all boundaries. It could
yeah.
be, you could take the Great Depression literally and do Dust Bowl.
Carnival vibes.
Or you could go figuratively and just be your depressed self. And then we all gather and...
I just don't like when people try to spin a 1920s party like it's this. It's like a wild idea they had.
No, it's very done.
But anyway, Whitney's having one. I did say I do love a speakeasy, and I said I just wrote secrets.
Mm-hmm. I love secrets. Heather and her friend Dre are collecting baby Range Rovers for the 5 beauty lab ladies who are pregnant with boys.
Yeah.
This is Rosemary's Baby Satanism,
I know.
Right? This is like
do they have
unnatural.
A pregnancy pact?
Something is amiss.
I tweeted, do they have a pregnancy pact? And someone wrote, no, that's just Utah.
5 young women, all carrying sons.
They're all sons?
Yes. She said not only are they all pregnant at the same time, they all are pregnant
oh
with
my God,
boys.
I think I might have blacked that out.
Yeah, because literally...
That's satanic.
The devil is at play.
No more boys.
No more boys.
That is truly Hail Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I have chills. It's so strange.
It's wrong.
So they have little like cute little car baby cars. And we see Jen come in.
Jen has another fucking beat drop entrance. But all I want is a supercut of every time Jen steps one heeled leg out of a car and hits the snowy, crunchy ground and stomps up to a door.
Jen is being escorted to the door with her aunt.
I think she made her aunt drive her there and then walk her to the door. And then she was like, now get out of here.
Her aunt? Is this the same aunt that was in the hospital?
No, different aunt.
Different aunt, different day. Okay.
Well, actually, we don't know because her legs were covered. So she could have had prosthetics. But it sounds like that hospital
another aunt
happened recently. I don't know if she would have made a full recovery where she could get behind the wheel of a car and drive and escort Jen into someone's house.
Yeah. Heather, all these girls come in, all these other like women come in to help them get ready for this baby shower. And there's this one woman named Angie who's wearing sunglasses and she looks like Melania's double.
I'm obsessed with Angie.
Yeah. She's like so excited to be on screen.
I need to know more about Angie. Hopefully she pops up again soon.
Mm-hmm.
She was really doing it for me.
She was doing it for me too.
Heather then has like a soliloquy where she lets everyone know.
It's a moment.
It's a moment where she gets to have like her divorce drama front and center.
Yeah, she basically is like, I feel like I sacrificed like a big part of my life for this guy. And then one day he just like didn't want to be married to me anymore. And I'm reckoning with the fact that like, maybe I never even loved him.
Yeah. Her husband left her after 11 years together. And then we find out that Heather has never been in love ever, but this is a great setup for Heather to find love. And I hope that she tries to find love on the show.
I also think that Heather is gearing up to maybe monetize this somehow. Like, I feel like she's slowly sowing the seeds for, like, messy, like, life doesn't have to be perfect kind of lifestyle brand.
Yeah, well, I think she's also just laying the groundwork for audience investment of, like, will Heather find love? And now we get to follow her on, like, this journey that's gonna have tons of ups and downs, mm-hmm. and I feel like it's like she'll meet people and try and like, so that's smart of her because I'm invested and I want Heather to start dating.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also very fragile and is like 100% melting down in this moment.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, she basically had like an arranged marriage.
Yeah, and she says her heart is Mormon. But
her head is neoliberal.
Her head is neoliberal. And the way she was raised was that even if a marriage sucks and you like don't like your husband or whatever, you just like 100,000% put yourself into it and like make it work.
She was 100,000%.
100,000%.
She also quotes a scripture line and like it goes on for like 30 seconds. And I was like, is that... Say that again? Like, I was like, it felt very, she was like, as they say in our book, God shines down on those who walk in his splendor. And also when they are not walking in his view, they still have God's light shining upon them. I was, and everyone was like, just kind of like, okay.
Good thing your book isn't real.
Honey.
That's a book of fairy tales.
She also
Jen
is the
Beal
first
her, though.
She's the first person in four generations of her family to get divorced, which is pretty
that's
wild.
Tough. But shouldn't everyone get mad at her ex and not her? Like, she can't help it if he's out of there.
I know.
But Jen also real talks her and says, you're doing the hard work breaking the cycle so your daughters don't have to, like, you're just setting things straight. I was like, I love that perspective.
Yeah, that was a good friend thing.
Yeah. Do I feel like Heather is going to have an easy breezy dating life? No, no, not one. Not at all.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Mm-mm.
But I love to see it, but and I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. Then we cut over to the
Meredith household.
What's her last name? Meredith?
I don't know. The Merediths.
Meredith Marks. Great name. Meredith Meredith is making a smoothie with her son Brooks and her daughter Chloe. And she makes a smoothie but forgets to put the lid on.
I think she's making frozen margs.
Explodes
them all over the countertop.
She doesn't put the lid on the blender part, so it just goes everywhere. Which I loved.
She looks at it, and I thought to myself, Brooks is going to have to clean this up.
Mm-hmm. Brooks went. Yeah, so Jen comes over for a little Marg hang with Meredith.
She descends on the household, and we find out that Brooks feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, Brooks
with Jen.
There's this part where Jen's talking about like getting her body in shape or something.
Well, she says that she and Meredith are going to have a slumber party on Saturday night, and they're just going to like drink wine and do like high kicks and just like hobnob. And then Meredith's like, what are high kicks? And then Jen does like, I think it's just the thing where you're like, yes. It's like a high kick. Everyone knows what that is.
She goes, grinder, which I didn't know what that meant.
I didn't know what that meant either, but then we find out that Brooks was like really uncomfortable with Jen's high kicks because her vagina was in my face, but I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't. And also Brooks, they kept panning to him and he was just very judgmental and extremely rude to a friend of his parent, which I was very like not okay with.
And yeah, vagina hating gays are truly,
they are the worst. I wrote, Brooks is one of those gays who was like, ew, vaginas. I like,
yeah,
it's,
what the fuck do you think you came out of?
Yeah, your misogyny is not excused because you like cock.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Vaginas are great. And dicks are great.
Both are great. You might prefer one, and that's fine, but don't knock the other.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. She wasn't trying to like, it wasn't Jen's high kicks were not about you, Brooks.
Yeah, and I don't think her pussy was out in her face.
So then Brooks
she
and his sister
to the side,
yeah,
and like made sure her skirt was covering it.
Her sister's wearing a full dress.
Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, accusing your mom's friend of like showing her
Women of like showing their pussy to you is a gross thing to do.
Yeah.
Unless they truly were showing their pussy to you.
Unless they turned to you and were like, hey.
It might have been an accident. Like one time I was in a hot yoga class and the woman in front of me was wearing just shorts with no underwear on. And then I saw her pussy and it was not intentional. It just happened.
Yeah. Unless Jen's turning to Brooks and going, here, behold my pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Spread
it like it's goes grinder. Then I would feel really uncomfortable in that situation.
Right.
But Jen's just being fun, flirty, and fabulous. Like, let a bitch live.
I know. Brooks was very anti-vag, and it was like to such a degree that it was off-putting, and like he was actually making everything uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
Brooks is now in my no trust bin.
Me too. And Chloe goes, Mom, Brooks and I are going to Best Buy. And I was like, cool.
Okay, have fun.
I was like, they're going to go like drop acid.
I wish.
No, they're not. They're not that exciting.
No.
But yeah, Brooks is and we come to find out he's extremely controlling of his mother.
Yeah.
And her image.
We'll get to that.
I wrote, Lisa's son has a Bushwick mullet.
He does. He's very Brooklyn.
He has a literal baby face, but like a super deep voice. It's very strange.
Yeah. She hounds him while he's driving.
Yeah, he's doing like...
They drive like down the street to a 7-Eleven.
Well, you don't know where they're going, and then you find out that she's just...
That she just made him drive her to 7-Eleven. She goes, now go get me a Coke, Diet Coke, 40-ounce, easy ice, no lemon.
Yeah, he also talked. Yeah, this is where he talks about having the pull-out method. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I was like, you're 15 years old.
I love Lisa's outfit in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But why does she always talk like she was scream-talking the night before?
She's always like a little bit raspy. Like her voice, it could go at any second.
Didn't you talk about scream-talking?
Yeah, so many people there. Well, not so many people, but certain people just scream talk. And I'm like, what is there to shout about? Like, you're literally yelling right now.
But we were talking about how we both have scream talked at like a bar. like in our college,
like trying
days.
To talk over people.
Yeah, just like scream talking above the music.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Lisa talks.
Yeah, but I think she also probably like yell talks. Like some people will like talk on the phone and they'll literally be talking like this. Like, do you even understand what I'm saying? And I'm like, yeah, like I totally know. And we should really talk business now. And it's like, what? You're yelling. Like,
yeah, why are you yelling?
You're just in the house. You don't need to yell on the phone. Yeah. Just have a conversation.
For sure.
It's psychotic. It's a phenomenon. Behavior. Mm-hmm.
Go to Scream Talk Anonymous.
S-T-A. A-A. I'm in STA.
Yeah.
I just joined STA. It's new for me.
Mary and Meredith meet at a place for dinner. Mary's outfit is incredible.
Mary's hair was throwing me
mm-hmm.
in this dinner scene.
Their
one
waitress?
One side of it's like kind of crimped. One side is like very flat ironed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, Mary's wild. But then I came away from this dinner really liking her.
Me too. I think she was very normal with Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
Their waitress looks like she's wearing Dakota's wig from Suspiria. I also wrote in all caps, or with exclamation points, everyone is eating cod tonight.
Yeah, so much cod.
They're just cackling together.
They're laughing. Mary's like keeping things real about her marriage to her step grandfather. And I didn't realize that they had a baby together.
Yeah, they have a 17-year-old son.
And Mary says that her son is no longer into her since he has a girlfriend, and she's now on a mission to like be rid of him.
She has no use for him anymore.
No, I was like, I like Mary at this dinner, but she is doing a thing I think that she probably does to her congregation where it's like she's normalizing all this very abnormal shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like talking to you like you're just one of the girls. Like, yes, I married Robert. Like, it really was a thing, but like I've come around. And like, it's like, wait, no. Like, no. You don't marry your step-grandfather.
No, Mary, without saying it, she was literally brainwashed into being in that marriage. Like, she was forced into this marriage at 19, basically, and was not in love with him, and like kind of, I think, weird. She was weirded out by the whole situation and kind of just gave in.
She like put off having sex with him.
She was like, thank God I had my period.
And she's like, I just stretched it out into like 28 days. And then finally I did it. But then she's like, yeah, her whole grandfather story, when she ends it, she's like, and I'm so glad I did. It's like, no.
We confirm what we read in that Reddit post, that Mary's mother and her are estranged because her mom wanted the church and the money.
Yeah.
And Mary got it. So she left and doesn't talk to Mary anymore.
Mary, on her, when she was talking about her mom, she goes, I was really sad to lose my mom. She was my best friend. She's who I went to dinner with.
Mary's disordered.
Okay. Mary is also wearing a leather shirt. So we have to really take everything she says with a grain of salt.
She can also wear them because she doesn't have sweat.
Oh my God. Yeah. She no longer sweats.
She can wear leather till the cows come home.
Mary is an anomaly. Her fashion is wild. Her life is even wilder. She's one to watch, but never buy into her lies.
No, she's truly dysfunctional.
She's trying, like, I buy into them, and then I have moments like this where I'm like, wait, what? Like, yeah. No. I wrote, Mary needs to leave this man.
Her outfit in her confessional was everything, though. Her, like,
what is it? Hold it up.
Also a Sea Org outfit.
Oh my God, yeah. Her Chanel, Sea Org Chanel.
A little Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's unhinged, but she was compelling in this scene.
Totally.
Meredith also expresses interest at going to her church, and I was like, ooh,
this is a slippery slope.
Meredith
tread
is actually
lightly.
She's a prime candidate for brainwash.
Yeah, because she's going out and
she's transitioning
to go into her own like divorce. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We cut to then Marin Brooks in the kitchen, and Meredith goes, I'm going to make guacamole because we have a million avocados. And Brooks like, what do you want me to do? And she's like, just cut up the onions and tomatoes. They vocal fry at each other all day long.
We find out Brooks took the semester off truly to just be with her, with Meredith, because of her separation from Seth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to work on his fashion line.
That was when I was like, oh,
he's got an agenda. So Brooks is very uncomfortable by Jen.
Yeah.
Or of Jen. I just wrote grow up. Boring.
He makes Meredith cancel her sleepover with Jen. And he's like, you need to hang out with Chloe. It's Chloe's last night. You don't need to be hanging out with Jen.
He goes, Chloe and I saw parts of that woman that we'll never need to see again.
I'm like, no, you didn't. And I just wrote, okay, is Brooks the devil?
He goes, how would it look for Meredith Marks to be hanging out with a woman like that? Like her brand? Or I was like, what?
Ew, you're literally in Utah.
They're weird. Also, yeah, Meredith is wearing a crazy bob wig in her confessional.
I like that. I thought that she just got a haircut. You think it's a wig?
I think it's a wig.
I love Meredith making guacamole.
Or maybe she has extensions. Sorry.
Yeah, with a blazer draped over her shoulders.
Oh, so wealthy.
And then even she realized, like, I can't wear this, like, blazer like this and be in the kitchen. So she finally took it off. But I was like, how long will she make the full guacamole with this blazer on her shoulders? Yes or no?
I love that.
The answer was no.
That look.
Mm-hmm. I just need to... We have so many avocados.
I can't even bring myself to put it on my blazer. I can't bring myself to put it on fully.
I love.
It's very Rachel Zoe.
Halfway. Mm-hmm.
Brooks, yeah, Chloe, you need to spend time with Chloe. It's her last night.
It's Chloe's last night. You really need to spend time with her.
We cut to another house of dysfunction at Mary's very nice mansion. I just wrote cult money.
Cult money.
Mary wants to send her son to boarding school in LA.
I just wrote, oh, fuck.
What kind of boarding school?
I don't know.
Are there boarding schools in LA?
I don't know. I could see her getting crazy and sending him to like a therapeutic boarding school. That's why I wrote, oh, fuck. Because when you're a junior in high school, I don't know, it's a rocky road.
Mm-hmm.
And your parents are like, don't want you hanging out with your girlfriend. And they're like, feel like you're not learning anything and making bad grades. I don't think you're going to go to like a competitive, like,
no,
academia type of boarding school. I think you're looking at like some shady ass fucking therapeutic boarding school shit.
Or it's like, yeah, or it's some kind of religious.
Yeah, which is basically the same thing.
He goes, are you at all prepared to leave your school now in Utah to go to? And he goes, no, I can't be away from my girlfriend. And Mary goes, oh. And he goes, and you guys. And she goes, she's ahead of us.
She's ahead of us. Ugh. Mary's also wearing like a Cleopatra-esque headband.
Mm-hmm.
That really threw me into a tizzy.
Yeah. Her homeware is wild.
And she goes, you don't want to go to a boarding school, even if it's co-ed.
I liked her house.
Yeah.
But again, it's all cult money. Mary's hard. I want to like her, but I can't trust her.
No, I can't trust a single thing that she does. Also, Robert Sr., just like, I don't trust him.
No way. He married his step-granddaughter.
When she That's weird.
A girl, a woman that he knew since she was a baby.
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't add up. It's not going to work for me.
And then
Robert
we see-
Jr., yeah, he Robert Jr.'s in for a rude awakening.
He's cute. Her son.
He's really cute, yeah.
I want him to, like, have a good... I want him to get out.
I know. I just wrote, like, when he said that about his girlfriend, wrong answer, babe.
I know. I was like,
oh. You just dug your own grave.
He needs to play the Mary game.
Yeah. If you don't play the Mary game, you get played.
You need to play Snake Church game.
She dismisses him after that. She goes, okay, love you. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah. I would need therapy from that.
Does she ever even talk to her son? I feel like they've haven't talked in weeks.
I think it's like separate. Like they're like the president and first lady, and they like have people who handle him and people who handle them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's very.
I just got the sense that they don't interact that much.
I think their church is legit a cult, and like they're separate from their son. So then we head to the Snake Church.
Faith Temple.
Whitney and her dad, Steve, are heading for a night of God.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith shows up with her gay friend.
Jeff. They're already there waiting. Jeff is looking amused.
Mm-hmm. Jeff and is sweet. Then, he puts his hand on his heart. And I think he's like just trying to be a good sport about it. But he's also kind of feeling it. Mary walks in.
Mary's entrance was iconic.
She's just looking at everyone with her hand. She's just going, oh, like she's looking at all her congregants and just like looking kind of performatively touched by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, oh.
She's wearing lots of robes.
And she gets up on the pulpit and just starts going.
Yeah.
It's intense. It's like, you can tell that Meredith and Whitney and co. are uncomfortable, but like, they kind of give into it.
I think Steve is genuinely moved.
Steve is joining.
Yeah, Steve is like in there. It really didn't take much to rope him into it. No, he's like crying.
Whitney or Mary at one point says like, my friends that are here.
Yeah, she has like a whole sidebar that celebrates them, and then she like goes down into the congregation and gathers Steve, Meredith, and Whitney and just hugs them close and is like praying for them. And I wonder, why isn't Jeff included in that?
I know, I was like, I said the same thing. I was like, what about Jeff?
Yeah, you're just gonna leave Jeff standing there?
Hmm.
Is it because he's gay?
Maybe. But she huddles them all together, and they're like, they're in it. Like Whitney's dad he's signed up that night for the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. He's very interested.
They're like, okay, now give me $1,000.
$10,000 will get you in.
Whitney looks a little nervous, to be honest.
Yeah. I think Jeff also looked kind of scared.
Yeah. But they're trying to be polite. Meredith was like feeling it.
She just wants to feel something.
Yeah.
I feel like she hasn't had an emotion in decades.
Yeah, you're right. Since her kids were born.
Mm-hmm. And now she's like, what is love?
What is life? What is God? Jen's getting ready with her team. Like, truly, she gives a little homage to her team, and I just wrote congrats to the team.
Yeah, she is literally the embodiment of congrats to the team.
The Shaw Squad, they just cheer every time Jen enters the room. They clap for her.
She's nothing without her team.
Her second assistant, what's her name?
Oh, I didn't write her name down.
She's her biggest enabler.
Mm-hmm. Still wondering why she needs a team. Still very unclear as to what this team executes, aside from, like, she goes into full hair and makeup and outfit to prepare for that exact setup for the next day.
It's
like she's doing rehearsing. A practice run. Yeah, they're doing a rehearsal of hair and makeup and look. But I'm like, you have too much time on your hands if you can do that. Like, I understand having a fitting, but like the hair, makeup, and look rehearsal.
It's wild. She has a full like basketball team.
Yeah.
Like a starter team.
This is Shaw Squad.
She's upset about Meredith, right? Or Mary still?
Yeah. She's upset about Mary still, I think.
Mm-hmm. They go over to the baby shower. Every restaurant in Salt Lake City looks alike.
They're all like very white.
Pottery Barns.
It's a really Pottery Barn, kind of even that LA farmhouse Vanderpump Rules aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Heather gathers all the pregnant ladies and she goes, "All the pregnants, all the preggy queens better get together." And I was just like, oh my God, I've never been more appalled by a way of referring to people.
I just wrote this insane, this insane thing, mass pregnancies. What if they were all immaculate conceptions?
The preggy queens.
Yeah, they sit them all in chairs with the cars at their feet.
And Heather goes, this was Suspiria.
Mm-hmm. It's all white. Heather goes, she goes, "Being a mom is hard. It's not going to be easy." She goes, "And it's not perfect. And you're not going to do a good job. None of us do." And I was like, what?
You're projecting a little bit?
She goes, "You're not able to do a good..." Like, she kind of just said that everyone does a bad job at parenting.
She curses them. She gives a dark speech filled with, like...
Dread,
curses, mm-hmm. and, like, it's not very uplifting.
No.
And then she goes, "Now play games." And then leaves these pregnant women and their husband to play, like, weird games.
It's like pagan.
And then she goes, "We'll go get a drink." It was very pagan. This was, like,
Heather's version
of Midsommar.
It's like Wicker Man when all the couples are, like, paired off.
Yeah, and she makes them play games like passing, like, pacifiers back and forth and, like, blowing up balloons and hopping around with them, like, a pregnant belly.
Pre-COVID.
And then she goes, "Let's go get a drink, ladies." But then she makes them continue to play their games while she drinks and films in the corner.
Or it could be COVID, because they might not believe in COVID.
I think it's still Christmas time.
No, yeah, I'm just joking. Yeah, so they drink, and then Jen kind of gets into it a little.
Yeah, Jen is pissed
that Meredith went to Snake Church.
Yeah. And she says that you can't be friends with Mary and friends with her.
And Whitney's like, "I took my dad, who's like battling demons and substance abuse." And Jen's just kind of like...
Jen's not happy.
No.
No. And she's going to carry this grudge into multiple episodes, I think.
There's also a hashtag sign behind them, like wall art, that says hashtag bring us all the men.
This is full pagan rituals. This was a witchcraft at its finest. All those women, five pregnant women, all bearing sons, with those Range Rovers at their feet, sitting in a row. I was like, this is wild.
Now play games. Jen also says,
games.
She goes, "You have to choose me or Mary." And then she goes, "Vote." I was like, vote? Vote?
Jen is declaring martial law.
She is. Utah. Voter fraud.
Jen is literally the sheriff of Salt Lake City after this season comes to a close. This is the first of her climb to power.
Consolidating power.
Now. Yeah, she literally... Jen has paid the Shaw Squad to back her up on her ascension to the throne.
Vote.
I want this season to literally be about Jen becoming the senator. The governor of Utah. Queen of Utah. And Utah secedes from the United States.
And Jen
and
Shaw.
And then it's just under Jen Shaw law.
I love that.
"You're either in the Shaw Squad or you're out. Vote."
And by vote, it means you must join.
Yeah. And lots of pregnant women.
Yeah, vote is like doublespeak, where it means it's like a psyop where you think vote means like you have choice, but you don't actually have a choice.
No, it's vote or die.
Literally. And then we cut to the 1920s party. Whitney's all ready to go.
Whitney loves, she goes, I love the 1920s.
Whitney's in character the whole time, which I found a little troubling. Whitney goes, I love the 1920s. And then she goes up and she goes, hello, darling, how are you? And then this one of her friends comes up and she goes, oh, she's really in character.
Whitney has become the 1920s.
I'm concerned for her in this moment.
Yeah, deeply concerned for Wit and her love for 1920s. I love also that Meredith showed up in a 1970s-esque suit.
She was like cosplaying as Gloria Steinem.
She's not playing these like 1920s games.
No. Jen's team goes, Jen goes, are you ready to the team? And they go, yeah.
Jen arrives in a full train, like a 20-foot train trailing behind her dress with a team of people to maintain the train wherever she walks, which I don't think her look was 1920s either.
No. This was whole just like glam squad thing that like Dorit and Erica Jane really kind of started in terms of the Real Housewives, like it's made everyone now has a glam squad.
You don't need a glam squad unless you're literally living the glam squad life.
Yeah, unless you're
don't need one.
Fucking Jennifer Lawrence, like you don't need a glam squad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe for like an event or like a wedding or like a special thing, but like to go to
this
a friend's
is a
party.
Bar in Salt Lake City. You don't need a glam squad for that. This ain't the Oscars.
Mm-mm. The party's kind of a dud.
Well, it really doesn't know what it is. It's like there's naked cowboys like pole dancing.
Yeah. Mary and Lisa and Meredith are very put off by it. Lisa's like, oh!
She really loves her poles.
Lisa is an anti-stripper.
Lisa is like anti-sex, maybe.
Yeah.
Like she's might be so far anti-sex that she doesn't even pick up when innuendos are being thrown her way.
Yeah, she's lost herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's lost the plot. It's kind of a dud. I mean, this party, it's setting up for the next episode. Jen and Mary are going
to
like...
Jen loses her shit. Jen's like about to go fucking spiraling off the face of the planet. But there's a moment when Mary shows up and she goes to Meredith and she goes, this is so 20s. Mary, the arbiter of 20s taste.
Yeah, Jen has like a full Stassi meltdown with like the bullet hole in her head.
Mm-hmm. When you're high-pitched scream crying at someone and there's cameras rolling, you need to take a step back and ask yourself, what am I doing here?
Definitely a better episode than last.
Yeah, things were looking up. I was into it.
I think we're going to get a good fourth episode.
I don't like the idea of people renting houses to film in. And now I'm pissed that seems to be something that's been done for a long time. Like, But I don't like it. I want to see your house.
TV magic, baby.
Who else? What other franchise rented houses?
I think Orange County, maybe. Or no, not Orange County. I know another franchise did rent houses.
Dallas?
Oh,
Potomac?
Atlanta, maybe? I think maybe New Jersey.
Well, because Atlanta had all the drama about, like, Sheree's house.
Uh-huh. I think...
I like house drama.
I think New Jersey maybe had some rentals going on. And Dallas?
I honestly think it should be a rule that you are not allowed to rent a house. Like, you have to film in your abode.
Yeah.
I want to see what you're working with and judge it accordingly. I don't want to go into, like, your weird rental space.
I think Candace rents on Potomac. And... because some of them live in, like, condos.
Mm-hmm.
Which are really nice, like, big, but...
Yeah, take me into the condo.
But like the Kardashians use like fake houses, I think.
Yeah, but their show is like different in that it's more produced or whatever.
Yeah, that's part of the house. Like, we want to see the real house.
Show me the house.
Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I hope everyone has a safe Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And enjoys whatever you do. I hope you're living,
laughing, and eating a ton of food.
You can follow Laura at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
You can write into our Patreon.
Write into Bonus Eps.
Bonus Eps.
SexyUniquePodcast@gmail.com. And join Patreon, because there's so many bonus episodes and just like tons of premium content waiting for you. I recapped seasons 1 and 2 of Vanderpump Rules and released them as patron-only content.
Mm.
Every episode of the first iteration of my podcasting career, Pumped Podcast, is on Patreon.
Listen
plus
to that.
Over 150 bonus episodes.
150.
So for $5 a month, you can get all of that.
$5, everyone.
It's a deal.
It is a deal.
And thank you to our sponsor of this episode, Found.
Found. We love you.
Formerly known as Indie, now Found.
Found.
We were once lost, but now we are found. Learn more at hellofound.co and get your financial shit together.
Lord knows I need it. Hi, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.